it's over?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. One day after the Federal Reserve declared America's recession near an end, the recession in France and Germany has officially ended, at least for now. This morning, those countries reported slight growth in their gross domestic products, 0.3%. On the line with us is Andrew Hilton, director of the Center for the Study of Financial Innovation in London. Good morning.
Good morning.
Most economists were surprised by this. They were expecting another quarter of contraction. What happened?
Well, I was one of the economists who was surprised. I thought that we weren't by any means past the bottom of the recession yet. But it does seem as though there has been a bounce. It's almost certainly an inventory-led bounce. People have been cutting inventories down to unrealistically low levels. So at some stage, some sort of recovery is inevitable. It's almost arithmetic rather than economic.
Well, this is one quarter of growth. What does it say about next quarter and next year?
I don't think it says very much about either of those. I think that there are still serious problems in the eurozone in general. And indeed, it's worth noting that the eurozone, which is the area that shares the common currency, actually saw its GDP as a whole fall. Germany and France were up, but Italy and Holland in particular were down quite sharply.
Well, I was going to ask a question that I imagine French and German politicians are asking about who gets the credit for this growth. Given your pessimism, I wonder whether there's that much credit to go around.
Well, I think that politicians will certainly take it. There are elections coming up in Germany within the next few weeks, and undoubtedly Merkel will see this as a major plus for her. She was going to win anyway. I think she'll win a bit bigger as a result.
And what does this mean for our listeners here in the States, do you think?
Probably not very much, but there will be an issue as economists focus on why the European economies bounced, on whether this was just an inventory-led bounce or whether it's something real and will last over time.
Andrew Hilton, director of the Center for the Study of Financial Innovation in London, thank you.
My pleasure.
I'll bet you can guess where European stocks are headed. They're up about 1% or more this morning, and commodities are higher, too. Oil is nearing $72 a barrel. Copper, aluminum, nickel, all reaching their highest levels in the last year or so. Asian markets felt the optimism, too. Hong Kong led the way, up 2%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 120 points and finished at 9,361. It's going to be a busy couple of months for Kenneth Feinberg. He's the guy who will vet executive pay at companies that have taken government bailout money. Today's the deadline for the companies to submit their executive pay packages. And as Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us, Feinberg's decisions could change the rules at those companies and others.
The government will have to approve pay packages for the big cheeses at Citigroup, Bank of America, and GM, among others. Mark Borges is a compensation consultant at Compensia. He says he expects some negotiation on the proposed packages.
We'll see the government attempt to exert some influence, at least directionally, in the programs. But I don't think that the government is going to want to dictate all of the details.
But the administration would like to see these decisions be a guide on executive pay for other firms. Andrew Oranger works on pay issues at the law firm Ropes & Gray. He says companies know people are upset about executive pay. At the same time, he says,
I don't think that there is some kind of abject capitulation to the notion that we are no longer in a position to pay our executives appropriately and competitively.
He says companies still want to be able to set their own standards and pay, no matter what the government says. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
American Public Media presents the Marketplace Whiteboard, videos unwrapping the basics of the financial crisis. You can watch them anytime at marketplace.org.
Students headed to college this fall are just beginning to reach out to future dorm mates, and that's creating some new business opportunities. Youth Radio's Asha Richardson reports.
Amanda Thompson found out she got into Mills College last fall. Mills is a small, all-women school in Oakland, California. And Amanda's joy quickly turned into a job.
I was really excited because it was my top choice, So I decided that I should probably join a Facebook group dedicated to the class of 2013. And when I searched, there wasn't one. So I figured, well, who better to start a Facebook group than yours truly?
I'm going to Mills, too. And I did the exact same thing. I immediately joined Amanda's Mills College 2013 group. So I have dozens and dozens of my classmates. Ashley Battle is my admissions counselor at Mills. And she says the site merely continues online, was started on campus at pre-frosh visits.
Students meet here and they say, oh, well, let's keep in touch. Oh, you're in Texas. Oh, you're in Arizona. Oh, you're in New York. Oh, I'm not going to see you till August. Well, Facebook me.
But there's more to the Mills 2013 group than just making virtual friends. It's changing the business of admissions at Mills. Now counselors can keep track of students with a personal touch, and they don't have to spend any money doing it.
We kind of will peek and say, okay, well, who's joining the group? Does that mean that they'll be depositing later on and they haven't told us yet?
That peeking has been useful, at least for Battle. In her office, she was the first to persuade a student to come to Mills online.
Her status update said she was choosing between Mills and another school. And I wrote her a very long Facebook message about why she should choose Mills. 2 days later, she's like, I'm coming. I was like, yes.
But we haven't been swept up by the technology completely. The Mills Facebook group did do something old-fashioned last month. We mailed handwritten letters to each other, a more traditional way to say hello. In Oakland, I'm Asha Richardson for Marketplace.
Asha's story was produced by Youth Radio. And finally, some Canadian psychologists say Facebook could threaten your relationship. The study is in the latest edition of the journal Cyber Psychology and Behavior. The psychologists interviewed college students in romantic relationships who said all the socializing and the reconnecting they do on Facebook has their loved ones worried about potential infidelity. The researchers point out this effect might be limited to the college crowd. You know how young people can be. No matter what they're studying, they tend to have a minor in drama. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.